Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. So today I would like to touch on some of the very common questions, especially to some of those meditators, especially they meditate for a while. And this is some of the problems that usually comes up, especially some people when they come to meditations and they start off with, they feel so peaceful and so nice. And after a while, they find that, oh, they think that there's something wrong with their meditation, and then they got panic, and because they're not as peaceful as before. Because when they started to meditate, they said, "Oh wow, it's so peaceful, it's so nice." And after a while, then you know, they've been meditating, and then stuff come up. You know, then they think that, oh, something wrong with the meditation, and even some people told me that they stopped meditating because it's not so peaceful anymore. Because initially they start off, it's because it's very peaceful, then they really like to meditate. And because now it's not peaceful anymore, so they stop meditating. And this is really a problem. And because this is our perception, we think that meditation is always peaceful. You know? So, at times we are not peaceful. Like at times they have lots of thinking and lots of emotions coming up, and actually it's normal. You know, it's nothing wrong not to panic, because a lot of people that get panic, they think that, you know, and this training of the mind is just like the body building the body. And you can't just stop. You have to do it every day. And the meditation also the same. Sometimes people say that, I sit there for an hour. I stop myself thinking. My mind just wandered off all the time. And they said, oh, what's the point of meditating? And they stop meditate. Actually, it's fine, because there are many reasons why. That sometimes they have lots of thinking. Sometimes lots of thinking because of when we are very stressed, when we are very busy. So, for example, we've been busy, we have lots to do, and then we've been very busy. So when we go back, do you think that we can calm our mind down easily? And it's just normal. But a lot of people, the harder they try to make the mind peaceful, and then they try to focus, you know, try very hard. The harder you try, the worse. And you become so frustrated and you get upset. Actually, that is normal, because it's this whole day busyness. You can't make the mind stop immediately, because the mind is very active. So actually, even though your mind is very busy, if you have lots of thinking, you just sit down and you just allow the mind be. Letting go means letting things be. But because we want it to be otherwise, we try to stop the mind, we try to stop it from thinking. But you can't do that. You can't use willpower to stop it, because it's just natural. It's just like the vehicle travel on the highway for 120 kilometers per hour. You try to stop it, you can't. So we understand that. So actually, you just sit there. It doesn't matter if the lots of thinking in your mind is just keep wandering off. You just let it be, and just keep bringing the mind back, you know, to your meditation object. And it doesn't matter if your mind, even you sit there for an hour, your mind can't focus. It doesn't matter, and you can see that even throughout the whole hour that you're sitting, your mind keep wandering off. But after an hour, you can feel the difference. Even with that, you know, the mind can't focus, you still feel peaceful. You still feel, you know, better than before. You know, your mind still okay. So, and then you understand that this is okay. And another reason that sometimes after you're meditating, and then you have lots of emotional things comes out, very intense, it's also because of when you tick the surface, you know, when you started to meditate. And the surface, you know, this is the purification of the mind. It's just like we clean up the rubbish and we become calm. We tick off the surface and then we can see some of the things deep down inside us, a lot of emotion, for example, like a lot of things that this is how we get on with life, a lot of things, a lot of pain, a lot of things that happen to us that is painful, that we not be able to deal with. So we push it down, we suppress it. So it doesn't mean that it's not there. Actually, it's there. So we try to find distraction from, you know, from doing other things, you know. And this is a very common thing, for example, like in monastic. When they come into monastic life, because when you're outside, because we have a lot of outlets to distract our mind, you know, we can, if in the world, you can go to, you just pick up the phone and can call your friend, then you have something, you don't feel good, and something emotional, you know. A very intense emotion come out, or a loss of fear, sometimes loss of sadness, and sometimes these anxieties and all this very intense emotion. Or you feel very agitated and irritated. So pick up the phone, call your friend, or go out for a movie, you know, go for shopping and distract the mind. So actually we are not looking at what is in the mind, because we are running away, we keep running away. This is how we get on with life. But it doesn't mean that it's not there, actually it's there. So it's deep down. So because we take the surface out, and then you go to another level. They say sometimes why, even some meditators that meditate for many years, they still have stuff come up. Because they've been buried underneath. It's just like when we clean our house, so it looks as if clean. But we notice that under the bed, or under the cupboard, you know, under the table, there are lots of rubbish. It's the same thing. It's not that it's not there. Actually, it's there. But we haven't dealt with. So we think there is something wrong with my meditation. And also because of when your mind is calm enough, when your mind is ready to look at those things that you'll not be able to look at. That is also part of that. It's just like when your mind is busy, when you are not calm enough. It's just like the water in the pond, you know. When the water becomes still, you can see all the rubbish inside, isn't it? Before that, when it's not clear, you can't see. So then you can see underneath with all the satin tins and tires, all sorts of rubbish underneath. It's the same thing. Because when we started to calm down, when our mind calmed down peaceful, that we can see that underneath. And that is something that we have to work with. And a lot of people think that, you know, they meditate to achieve something, to get something. The more you try to achieve something, you know, I want to be peaceful, and I want to be calm. Then you try to get something, you crave, craving. When you crave, actually the mind is moved. You know, it's the movement of the mind. So why we can't focus? Why we are restless? Because the mind, we are not happy. When we are not happy, the mind is not content. So you can't focus. Or constantly you want to be somewhere else. That's why there is because there is a movement of the mind. That's like when you have the movement, then you can't see things. So when your mind started to calm down a bit, when the mind is still, then you can see the things underneath, very underneath. So that means that your mind is ready to look at that, to deal with that. And one of the very good skillful means to help, I personally find that when you have stuff come up, that things that you thought that you have already let go of, you already let go, but actually we haven't. So we think that we already dealt with, but it still comes up, things like that. Actually, it's good to reflect this impermanence and reflect, you know, to develop these perceptions of non-self. As you can see that all these, you know, emotion and feelings, they come and go. If you just let it be, whatever emotion that come out, you know, you just let it be. You just sat there, you just let it go through. And you reflect on that. And you can see the that it's come and go. If you keep doing that, you know, then after a while, you will not panic. You say, yeah, actually, it's no big deal. Sometimes those emotions is very intense, but they come and they go. And then they won't stay long. The reason why it stays long is that because we think that this emotion is belongs to us. We try to own this emotion. We try to own it. So we try to make this feeling that it's so unpleasant. We try to make it go away. The harder we try to push it away, it stays longer. So if we let it be, allow it be, allow the feelings, allow those emotions, the unpleasant feelings, actually, it's a subside by itself. Actually, we don't have to do anything. But of course, sometimes it's too intense that, you know, you just carry you, you just overcome by that emotion. Then it's good to do some reflection. For example, sometimes like the thinking too much because of the emotion, and then you started to have all these worries and have this all these negative thoughts. And when you have that, you can reflect. You know, replace the thinking. Because a lot of people try very hard to stop the thinking. So actually it's better to replace the thinking or try to stop the thinking. So you stop the replace the positive thinking. Because the positive thinking, the positive thoughts, the reflection. So when you do reflection, so that's why the Buddhists emphasize so much about this generosity, act of kindness. Then when we do something good, we feel good about ourselves. So when we reflect on our own goodness, and we feel good, and that kind of reflection, they said the Buddhists call this wise reflection. So a lot of people think that you meditate, you shouldn't think. So then when you think that is wrong, because and the mind is too active that you can't stop, it's better to replace the thinking than to try to stop the thinking. So you replace with some thinkings that reflect, you know, on the goodness or reflect on your own morality, your sila, your own virtue, you know, the act of kindness. So replace that and bring out all this a sense of gratitude, appreciation, because this is a wholesome thought. So these thoughts, you know, will lead you to peace. And gradually you become, you know, peaceful and you calm, become calm. Slowly your mind become calm. But if you follow those negative thoughts, then that leads you to more suffering. The emotion become more intense. Because usually when this emotion comes, it leads to all this speculation, projection, and all these negativities, lots of unwholesome thoughts, and leading to that. And we reinforce the tendency. So this is some of the skillful means that you can make use of. You can replace the thoughts. Or if your mind is strong enough, you can just let it be. Just allow it. And just let it calm out and just allow that feelings, unpleasant feeling, whatever feelings that you experience right now, you just let it be. And the more you do that, and you can really see that it's really impermanent. Even the most unpleasant feelings is not going to stay forever. So the more you do that, and whenever that emotion comes out, it stays shorter and it will not stay long. It subsides quite quickly. So you need to, you have to be practicing. The persistency is important. So a lot of people just give up, you know, when they feel that, oh, I'm not so peaceful anymore, and then they stop meditating. have to just keep going, keep going, and keep going. So when you keep going, when you pass that, it becomes very peaceful. Like, for example, fear. I remember once when I was in Thailand. The first time I lived in the cave. I was really terrified. So I was so fearful. I was so terrified. I was so fearful that, you know, I just so scared because I feel there's someone walking towards me and looking at me. I just so scared that I just covered the blanket on my face, you know. I don't dare to look at it. Then I remember the Buddha said that when he was still a bodhisattva, when he was in the practicing in the forest, then he said when the fear arises, then if you are walking, you keep walking. If you are sitting, you just remain sitting. You just let it be. Let that fear, you know, let it be. Or you are lying down, you keep lying down. Then that moment I was lying down. So I just remember that. I just sit down there. I just lie down. I just let the fear, you know, just let it be. And then becomes really come to the max, you know. Oh, I was so fearful. And then after a while, that when it's come to the max, it just subsides. The fear is just subsided by itself. And the moment when the fear subsides, I was so peaceful. It's really peaceful. It's you know, if you allow that, you know, because the emotion, whatever feelings that you experience or anxieties or fear, it's not going to stay there forever. When it's come to the maximum, it's a subside, you know. Everything or whatever phenomenon, whatever feelings, experience, emotion that we experience, it arises and it's going to pass away. It will not continue to go up. It will come down. But the problem is, we try to interfere, we try to make it go away. Then it stay longer. And we reinforce that. And next time when the fear comes up, it's become more fearful. And that's why this is one of the where you just, if you be able to be with that feelings, then it's good. If you can, then you replace, you know, like some positive thinking, for example, do some wise reflections, reflect. So rather than the mind go on and on with these unwholesome and negative thoughts, then we replace it the wholesome one. So at least that leads you to peace. So I offer this some skillful means and some reflections for you when you have all this when you have these difficulties in your meditations that you find it very difficult to be peaceful. So this is some of the skillful means that you can use to help you in your meditation. So now we can start to meditate and. Just choose a comfortable position, posture, as comfortable as you can. And you just relax your body. And you bring your awareness to this body and spend a few moments to pay attention to your feelings and sensations of your body. Is there any tightness or tension in your body? And you just relax.
is your body feel relaxed? And you feel your heart start to expand. And you have a sense of, it just open up. You open up the door of your heart to this moment. To allow the breath to come to you. When you relax, the breath will naturally come to you. You don't have to go and look for the breath. You focus on your in-breath and out-breath. answer question one. Dear Venerable, how do I deal with the tightening sensations around the head when I'm meditating? Sometimes when we are trying too hard, so we feel tight because we try to focus. And actually it's happened to one of my friends, and we used to meditate together a lot and to for retreat. And she's had very strong samadhi, so she'd be able to recollect her past life. So, and because her past life, she was a monk. So, and she wanted to finish off this life, like she wanted to attain, you know. And then the more she tried very hard, and she really meditated very hard, and because she wanted to break through, she wanted to attain. She said that she have enough, she wanted to finish up this life, it's enough dukkha, I don't want to be reborn. The more she craving for not to be, you know, still craving, but it's so subtle that she can't see that. Actually, she's tried very hard. She's really practiced really diligently. And then she ended up, she had terribly this migraine headache. And her headache is so bad that she can't even meditate. And she has to go back and rest. Sometimes that the tightening sensations around the head can is because of you try to focus. And some people, that especially at this point, you try to focus, you have a lot of tightness around the head here. That's why it's good to just relax. Whenever we have these sensations, tightness there, then you just acknowledge that there is tightness. Then we just very gently and remind ourselves, just relax, be relaxed. And we just relax ourselves a little bit. Then we continue with the breath. And some people have lots of tightness in the chest because it's come from the trying too hard. They try to focus very hard. So that is one of the very common questions. Ajahn Brahm used to say people have this samadhi headache because they're trying too hard. You try to focus. You try too hard. Then you feel the tightness here. Some people feel the tightness in the chest. Some people even feel the tightness in the throat. They feel like, oh, I feel like being strangled. Because of you try too hard, you try to focus. Then because when you try too hard, it becomes like you're not relaxed. Then you become tight. So that's why you need to relax more. So that's why it's good that whenever we feel tight, for example, sometimes that's why we start with relaxing our body. We try to relax our body. So if you are not relaxed enough, like some people, they used to tight, they don't know, like my friends, even though she said, oh, I'm relaxed already, but she's still tight, you know, because she thinks that she relaxed, but she's still very tight because she's very, like, for example, like she's, like she has a slot and topper. And she will do walking meditation and barefoot and walk on stone or knock her head on the wall to keep herself awake. And it's really very pushy, pushing too hard, try too hard. So that is one of the reasons when we try too hard, we have lots of tension. They say some people when they meditate, they even feel a lot of pain in the body. The pain in the body actually sometimes comes from the tension. Because we try too hard, then our body tense up. Just imagine you sit there 2 hours or 1 hour tense up like that. It's painful. Then when you finish meditating, your whole body is just pain because it's very tight. It's not relaxed. So for the questions, once you said that, try to relax more. Relax. And it's good to not quickly rush to the breath. It's sometimes it's very good that you spend some time, you know, just sit down,
just you know, bring the mind to the present moment of awareness, just to, you know, just to sit there, not to rush to the breath, you know, just sit there and just aware of the sensation of the body and just relax the body a little while before we rush to the breath. Sometimes we rush to the breath and we try to focus and too quick, and you know, then if you sometimes, you know, if you just sit there, relax, and then for a little while the breath just come to you, and it's just very relaxing. And when you are relaxed, the breath is just very smooth, you know, very soothing, and you feel really calming. So relax. Question 2. So what are jhanas and why are they important in regards to meditations and Buddhist path of practice? The jhanas means that that you are in the absorption, that you have temporarily suppressed or abandoned the five hindrances. The reason why it's important, because we are being clouded by the five hindrances, so we can't see things as they really are. So that is the mind is not clear. So because these five hindrances hinder the mind, the first one is desires, ill will, sloth and torpor, and restlessness and doubt. These five, and because of this there, so then the mind have no clarity. Being is clouded. That's why the mind is not clear. That's why when we are in absorption, the mind is completely still. When your mind is still, you can see things clearly, isn't it? You try to look, you try to see things while you're walking, isn't it? You have to stand still and look, you can see clearly what is there. The same thing, the mind. Because the mind is just, the mind is not still. So when we have abandoned this five hindrances, then you have these five jhanas factors. So the five jhana factors, like the last hindrances, that is the doubt. That is the first jhana factors is the antidotes for the fifth hindrances. The fifth hindrance, that is. The first one is the applied thought. Because the last hindrance, because you have doubt, you're not sure, you know? You're not be able to apply the mind, you're not sure whether the breath, you know? Is it, and then you have doubt, you're not sure. So, but you'll be able to apply the mind, focus the mind onto the meditation object, you just stay there. So you have no doubt, you know, you'll be able to apply. So, then the second jhana factors, that is the antidotes for the fourth hindrance, that is the restlessness. Because the second one, you'll be able to sustain, because the mind, the fourth one, because the mind is restless, you know. When someone restless, you want to go here and there, isn't it? You'll not be able to sustain, you'll not be able to stay. So you have these applied thoughts and sustain thoughts, be able to sustain, to be able to stay. So that is the anti-thoughts for that. So, and then this, the third hindrance, that is sloth and torpor. That is the third jhana factors, that is the antidotes for, the third jhana factors, the antidotes for that is joy, raptures. Because sloth and torpor, that you have no energy. So when we have joy, we have energy. So that's the energy. So that is joy is the antidote for pity. That is the rapture is the antidote for the sloth and torpor. Then Then this come to the fourth jhana factors. That is pity and then sukha. That is happiness. So the happiness. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Then the happiness actually. Sorry. The pity, sukha, happiness. Yeah. Then they come to apply thoughts, sustain thoughts, and pity and sukha and one-pointedness. So the fifth jhana factors is the antidote for the first one. The first that is the desires. Because the desires, we keep wanting. When your mind wants something, so your mind is moving. So when your mind is moving, so you cannot be unified. That is one-pointedness. So that is the fifth one, the fifth jhana factors, that is one-pointedness. So that is applied thoughts, sustained thoughts, pity, sukha. The happiness that is for the second one because of the antidote for this ill will. That is a second hindrance. So that's like when we have abandoned the five hindrances, so you have these five jhana factors. So that's why it's important, because if our mind is not still, then when you come to jhana, that is completely still. When your mind completely still, you can see things. Only through, you know, because when you still have the will, because the first hindrance that is the desire, that is the last one to be able to abandon. That is the difficult, because we still craving, you know, we want to be exist. The sense of self is there. So when the sense of self is there, it's the mind is moving, the craving. So that is the movement there. So when that is completely still, the mind. So when we completely still, then we be able to penetrate into this three characteristics. That is, we can see that is impermanent, that is non-self, and it is suffering. And you be able to penetrate through this the Four Noble Truth, and you understand the law of karma. So without that clarity of the mind, you can't, because the mind is clouded, is being hindered by these five hindrances. That's why it's important to have this in regards to meditation and the Buddha's path of practice. Because when your mind is completely still, that is where the insight arises, where we develop this wisdom. So, and for example, like we don't have to reach that stage like absorption, like in jhanas. Like for example, when we are confused, you know, when we are really not sure, and we try to solve things. So we try to resolve things, the more we try to think, and then we try to solve it, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? The mind is just, you can't. So when you put it aside, when you walk away, when you calm your mind down, when you make your mind as peaceful as possible, as calm as possible, when you're calm now, when you're peaceful, and then you can solve your problem. You can think of a way how to solve your problem, isn't it? Because this the same thing, that because when you're not peaceful, when your mind is confused, then your mind is not clear, you don't have clarity. So when you have the clarity, you can solve your problem. So that's why you need to have the stillness in order, you know, to be able to see things as a reality, because it's very subtle, like this non-self, impermanent, and it's a very subtle. So we need to have this super duper mind, you know, to have this really the strong mind the strength and to be able to penetrate through this, all these our experiences and these phenomena. So that's why it's important in regards to the meditations and the Buddha's path of practice. So any questions or comments?
Any more questions?
Okay.
No more questions?
Okay, so we finish.